John just commented to me, he said, man, it seems a little down tonight or quiet or whatever. I said, sounds like it. So let's do something real quickly. Just turn to somebody next to you, say, I was going to hell and Jesus saved me. Praise God. Amen. That ought to liven things up. Hallelujah. The Lord's good. Amen.
Amen.
Good to be in His presence and as always, just receiving His love and His mercy. We've been starting off in Luke chapter 4, so you can turn over there real quickly and just a little bit of time and looking at the need for each one of us to be full of the power of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, as we've been seeking, there's been others that have been filled just recently. Thank God for that. Amen. But as we're looking at the need for the Holy Spirit in this last hour, that we're wanting to see, you know, that it's definitely more than an experience we're looking for. We're not looking to speak in tongues. We're looking to be filled with the fullness of God's power, God's grace, God's wisdom. To get to know that paraclete of God, as the Greek speaks of Him, that one who stands and is able to represent us to the throne of God, that one that is our comforter that comes alongside, and to realize the true fellowship and communion that we need to have with this third person of the Trinity, God, Almighty God, living within us. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so as we've been looking at this, we said, okay, let's go back and look at the life of Jesus and see what a Spirit-filled man really looks like. Because that's what Jesus was. He was God in the flesh, but His life, His ministry was expressed as a full man, flesh, tempted with every temptation that you and I have been tempted with, but without sin, praise God. But they were genuine temptations. Jesus suffered in many ways in His physical body. He suffered, of course, in mental anguish as He was betrayed of His closest friends. He was hated and despised, the scripture says. He was mocked publicly and ridiculed. He was under satanic oppression for 40 days. The absolute power beyond anything that you and I could ever imagine, the powers of evil and wickedness oppressing Him for 40 days. He was without food and malnourished and weak and alone. And He stood by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so our circumstances today, we should realize, can surely be overcome if we don't faint and realize the goodness of God in us and the Holy Ghost. Amen? If Jesus was sustained, you'll be sustained because it's the same Holy Ghost in you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us and He will quicken our mortal bodies. Hallelujah. So just realize what you have in you, the potential. And get quiet enough to hear that voice. I can't remember exactly who it was. It may have been one of Fenelon's quotes, but he said, it's a rare man that can get quiet enough to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. He talked about the noise in the world today, how busy our minds are. Our minds are either busy with cares and thoughts of this world and temporal things that seduce us, or it's bound by fear and turmoil. Oh, to get our mind quiet. If we can get quiet, the Holy Spirit will speak to us and say, this is the way, walk in it. Praise God. Oh, we got to get quiet. And so Jesus, Luke chapter 4 tells us he was driven into the wilderness. He was led of the Holy Ghost into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. If you're being tempted tonight, whether it's physically, psychologically, spiritually, if you're being tempted tonight, you have the confidence that the Holy Ghost has led you here and He will lead you out, praise God. Amen? Amen. Jesus, the scripture says, after that leading, returned in the power of the Spirit. Hallelujah. You're only one more word away from deliverance. Because I want you to know something. Jesus ever lives to make intercession for you. Amen? And the Holy Ghost is praying through you with groanings which cannot be uttered. You're being prayed for. You're one word from deliverance. Don't faint. Hallelujah. Just rejoice in the goodness of the Lord. Begin to lift your voice up and worship Him and praise Him, praise God. Because you are not subject to fate or to circumstances. The Holy Ghost has you right where He wants you tonight. He also has more for you than you could ever imagine. This promise of the Father that came and prepared this motley little crew, the church, into a company that turned the world upside down is available to you and I. And there's been a fresh burning going over in my heart, and I've been sharing with some of you and just a restirring and asking Father for this community, for the souls that surround us. I've been seeking the Lord to refresh my spirit again, to give me a glimpse of His heart, to see these broken, lonely, fearful people bound by sin, loosed in the name of Jesus. As men and women, boys and girls of this flock begin to pour out into the streets, into the highways and the byways, and we compel people to come, praise God. We beseech them to come. We beg them to come. Because the night's coming when no man can work. The night's coming when no man can work. This is our opportunity. And you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Acts 1:8. And you shall be witnesses unto me. And so our prayer is, Lord, empower us. We've talked about witnessing being more than just vocalizing the gospel, though that's a necessary part of this ministry. This thing of wanting to have friendship evangelism, and we'll go have tea and we'll make friends and somehow we'll just bring them in and through osmosis. No, there is no other message but the message of repentance. Amen? That is the message of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It is that great gospel message that we have. I am not ashamed of the gospel, Paul said. It is the power of God to salvation. When we're full of the Holy Ghost, Acts chapter 3, verse 19, becomes part of our everyday living. This becomes part of our agenda on a daily basis. He stood and declared it. He said, repent and be converted, that your sins might be blotted out. And when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and He shall ascend, and He shall send Jesus Christ, which has been preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the time of restitution of all things. Moses told you a prophet would come after his kind, and it's him, verse 22, that you shall hear. And look what verse 23 says, and it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. You and I, stand in the lives of many of these between eternal life and eternal damnation. We need to begin to seek that power to witness as we've never sought it before. Many of us have prayed and said, Lord, fill me with your power. And then it goes by its way. That's not prayer. We have not prayed until we've received. Because whatever you ask for, it will be given unto you. Amen? We haven't prayed until the answer comes, until there's a fulfilling. What do we do in the interim? We were talking about this the other day. The scripture is very clear on it. Some of you that might have your Amplified Bible or in some of the other versions, but when Jesus spoke to us, He said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Amen? And as you look at the Greek there, we see what it is and the verbiage. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Keep on praying until God has answered. Praise God. Oh, we faint so easily, don't we? We give up so easily. We get so easily discouraged. We don't see things happen how we think they should or when we think they should, and so we just believe then that our God has forsaken us. God has forgotten. God doesn't care. Who do you think that is speaking to you? Isn't it interesting how much clearer we hear the voice of the devil than the voice of the Holy Spirit? No. It's just the opposite. He said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Praise God. What have you asked for that you haven't received? Then just take it to him again and praise him, because his word is yea and amen. It's sure to 1,000 generations. His word will not return void. Praise God. Isn't that what the scripture tells us? When you pray under the unction of the Holy Ghost and that word comes out of your spirit into the throne room of God, I want you to know something. It will come back. He will send that word back. His promises are sure to 1,000 generations, and it will come back and manifest itself in answer to the glory of God. Let's don't faint. Let's remember how good our Father is. Oh, beloved, when you get full of the Holy Ghost, one thing that becomes very sure to us is this. There's things that become real in a way that they never have before. And if we're going to pray effectively in the power of the Holy Ghost, if we're going to receive that supernatural refreshing, and by the way, if you are weary tonight, this is the refreshing. Amen? Oh, if I could only get home to my chair. Some of you have come right here to work. You've put in a long day. You've rode metro. You've dealt with lions and the beasts of Ephesus have been out there. And you finally come in and you stagger into the auditorium. And you've arrived. And your mind is still at work. And some of you haven't eaten dinner. This is the refreshing. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Where you're seated right now, just begin to let the Holy Spirit begin to pray through you. Greer will tell you, sometimes I actually am maybe a little too loud, especially since some of my hearing's been going. I'm believing God to put his fingers in my ears and return some of my hearing. But it's something I've always done. When I'm sitting, listening to teaching, I'll be sitting here like the last service when Ron was teaching or when John was teaching. And I will pray in the spirit 90% of the time that preaching's going on. My mind's still engaged. I'm hearing everything that's going on. Your mind doesn't engage when you're praying in the spirit. It's a refreshing. It's what lets you hear what the Holy Ghost is saying through the teaching. It's quickening us at all times. Be filled with the Spirit. He said, I want you to go out and represent me. With a great power that the world cannot deny that notable miracles have been done. Amen? Out on the streets. I was just reading, some of you may have gotten Dave Wilkerson's last newsletter. Any of you got the latest one? And he and Nikki Cruz were out having lunch together, the son, Wilkerson. And he and Nikki Cruz were out having lunch and, they led their waitress to the Lord. So that was exciting. And beloved, that's where our mission field is. We're going to be praying for Ron tonight. He's going to be on his way to India tomorrow, and God's going to go before him and open doors of utterance. Amen. We're going to we'll activate the prayer chain Sunday night at 10, so you know what your spots are. If for some reason you can't fulfill that, then let us know, and we want to make sure that everything's covered. But we'll activate the prayer chain about 10 o'clock and just believe God for a great work to be done, for his safety in the trip, for the anointing to be upon him in the trip, for God to be exalted. But you see, what you do at work tomorrow is just as great as what he does on his way to India. God's just as concerned with that one person you run into in the Safeway. Or the person you work with. Or the restaurants that we frequent. What a great outreach in America now. Half the people don't cook anymore, so we're out in the highways and byways, praise God. If you're ordering fast food, make it a fast sermon, but you know, whatever might be going on. But just to show you how the Spirit works. And so they were able to lead this lady to the Lord, and she was just rejoicing. And then she said, could I bring one of my coworkers here? She said, she's going through chemotherapy and her strength is gone, and she's going back to see what they're going to do with the next chemo treatment. And so they brought her out, and there in the restaurant, they laid hands on her and prayed for her, they shared then that the next week, I think it was, I can't think of the boy's name right now. Gary. Gary and his wife then came back the next week to check with this lady. And of course, as they had prayed for her, she received the Lord as her Savior. I believe that's how the story went. I've read a lot of stories. And gave them the good report that there was absolutely no trace of cancer whatsoever in her body. Praise God. Isn't that what we want to see? This is the power of God. Gary Newland was just telling me last night a testimony of one of their family members, and that had appendicitis, and they went in to deal with the appendicitis and saw a mass that was in there and near the colon and some different things, and that It was a cancerous mass, and so they were getting ready to do something else. They wanted to biopsy it. That's what it was, and wanted to biopsy this. And as they went in to biopsy it, it was totally gone. There was no trace. Praise God. That should be our everyday experiences. And He healed every one. Amen. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. You see, that's the expectation of people full of the Holy Ghost. That's the signs that follow those that believe in my name. They shall. Oh, we haven't seen what we set out praying for a few months ago, but it's coming. Have you lost it? Don't lose it. If it did go out of your mind, get it back in your mind. And begin to stir yourself up. I believe that God wants to and will do great things here in our midst. We talked about the need to clean ourselves up in some of our different areas of our bickerings and different aspects that the Bible says grieves the Holy Ghost. How we need to love one another effectively, that we can bring people into that environment of the love of God, of the mercy of God, the goodness of God. We're the salt of the earth. Amen. You know, there's not very much out there today that purifies. There's not very much out there today that works as that agent that brings savor, that brings preservation, those things that salt does. If the salt has lost its savor, it's good for... But to be cast to the ground, we know that that just talks about becoming part of the sidewalk. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be the sidewalk that people walk over to get to Jesus. I want to be the light, praise God. I want to be the person that can add some savor to their lives and some preservation to their households. A light set upon a hill cannot be hidden. Wait and see what the Holy Ghost wants to do. And they took note that they had been with Jesus. That's our heart's desire. Amen. That's what each one of us in here, I believe, wants. But there's a price to pay. There's intercession. There's fastings. There's putting aside the things of this world that are weights to us. And as the Lord speaks to each and every one of us, as we were sharing Sunday, how He will speak to each and every one of us as it pertains to those areas in our lives. And each of us has to work it out. But God will do the work in you if you'll seek Him, praise God. And so as we've been looking and studying, we see that this is the power of God. They cannot deny that a notable miracle has been done. I was just reading on John G. Lake, and it was kind of interesting when he was... After he had come back from Africa and they were holding meetings out west, I think it was in Spokane, and they had their healing houses that they had set up. And you remember he, I believe, or some of his family members were healed in the Alexander Dowie healing houses. These were places that they would get, very similar to what Dave Wilkerson did in New York with the drug addicts, and they would just get these apartments and they would bring people in there and they would just stay and be prayed for till they got healed, praise God. Oh, it's amazing what desperation can do. It's amazing what persistence can do. It's amazing what importunity can do. When men seek God with all of their hearts, they find Him, praise God. Amen? You see, we would like the American version, wouldn't we? We want the microwave version. They came, we prayed, it's over, hallelujah. Another great miracle. Let's go eat. What about staying until 3, 4 in the morning, crying out to God? What about my children? They need to grow up like people like David Grant grew up, sleeping under the pews. Like Janet grew up, sleeping under the pews. You went home when the Holy Ghost stopped moving. That's when you went home. And it might be 2 in the morning, it might be 3 in the morning. There was nothing more important than the presence of God and getting into that presence at any cost. Well, yeah, if the Holy Ghost will come in our time frame, if He's home, you know, if we can get home by 9:30, 10, 11 maybe, what does it mean to seek Him with all of our hearts? You know, we have all of the biblical examples. To seek Him with all of your heart is to pursue like the woman with the issue of blood. She would not be restrained. You can't keep me from touching Him. It doesn't matter what the distance is, what the price is to be paid, how tired I am, who it is that's trying to bring doubt into my mind and saying it, you can go anywhere. You don't have to go there. You don't have to touch Him. When God puts it in your heart, don't faint, praise God. And don't be deterred. And we know what the traditions were of that day and the customs. First of all, a woman with an issue of blood was unclean. They're supposed to pronounce their uncleanness so that nobody else would be defiled. This woman was touching everybody, man. She was pulling people out of the way. If I can touch the hem of His garment, I'll be healed. Hallelujah. She found that in the Word of God. What did you find in the Word of God this afternoon so you could come to church this evening and say, if I can touch Him tonight, when I touch Him tonight, I'm going to be healed, praise God. I'm going to be filled tonight. This is my night, praise God. I've read it again. I've read it and I've reread it and I've reread it and I've reread it. But tonight's my night. This Word is for me tonight. And I won't be hindered. Well, there wasn't any altar call tonight. Then come up and say, I'm here to get prayed for, praise God. I'm here to be delivered tonight, amen? We give up so easily. Jesus, thou Son of David, heal me. Shh, don't trouble the Master. And he cried the louder, amen? Jesus! Do you want to be heard? Have you cried out in your own prayer chamber, your own prayer closet at home? Have you cried out with all of your voice? You're alone, but you scream into the heavens and say, God, help me! I'm undone. I'm lost. I'm broken. I need your help. His ears are open to the cry of the righteous. Hallelujah. Do we weep over our brothers and sisters' pain and diseases? Their spiritual warfare? Can we take as our own the pain and the hurts of the hearts of our brothers and sisters? And they could not deny that a notable miracle was done. The Spirit's going to move in this place, and the Lord's going to be glorified in this place, and people's souls are going to be delivered and saved in this place. The night is coming when no man can work, and we're going to work while it's day, praise God. What do you believe in God for? What do you believe in God for? God's put it on my heart again, and I trust some of you the same possibly. But to begin to go through these neighborhoods and just pray for every home. Cry out to God for those lost souls. Cry out to God to draw them to Himself, to give us opportunity to touch them with the gospel. To be able to love them in the name of Jesus. As we prayed before, to supernaturally turn people. For our testimony to be that of things that we used to hear years ago. Ron was telling me part of his testimony. I hadn't even heard that part. He was sharing the other day that as he was seeking God and he was going up to Halpine Baptist, some of you may not remember Halpine, but just doing a great work for the Lord in those days. And Dick Klein was being used mightily of God. And there was an intercessor there and part of their ministry, and she would pray, you know, 4 hours or more a day and just interceding for the ministry there. And Ron said one day he was talking to her and this woman made a statement very similar to what Dick had made. Dick was down here one day and he was sitting in my study. Very learned man. Very, very learned man. Good preacher. And we were sitting in the study and he was looking at my library and looking around and he said, Star, he said, I have all these books. Where are you getting what you got? He knew the answer. He was very astute. He knew very clearly that we were not tickling men's ears. We were not afraid of men's faces. That we were proclaiming a Jesus who is alive. And that healing was for today and deliverance was for today and it's for right this moment. And that every time we pray and lay hands on someone, they should be instantly healed. That's what we believe. Amen. What was I teaching? It was nothing profound. It was the simplest message that could be heard. According to your faith, be it unto you, praise God. You all have heard the story. I was called on the carpet down at the district for that. It's very interesting. The thing that I was called on the carpet for in Potomac District Council, I went and preached in India, and hundreds of pastors flooded the altars, crying and weeping and broken. And a man, the general superintendent, the head of the whole organization, coming up to me, a man named Jay Raj, and he said, "Brother Scott, that's what I grew up on. We've lost our identity. We need the Holy Ghost. We've got to return to our roots." I wonder if we've lost anything. We still have the doctrine. That lady spoke to Ron and said, "If you want to know where the Spirit of God's moving, there's a place in Sterling, Virginia." She'd never been here. That's where you can find the Holy Ghost. Well, the Lord hasn't changed. Amen. The Word hasn't changed. I think I'd rather have that reputation back than the one that so many people have put upon us. Nothing's changed. Except maybe us. Stop and think back then when you came to church. Many of you came in those doors and you were expecting God to do something. How about tonight? How'd you come in tonight? Many of you were bringing people from all over this Washington, D.C. area. And God was healing people and delivering people. Amen? And He'll do the same thing today. We're going to see it. God's going to move. I firmly believe that some of us are going to get moved out before that happens. If there's not some repentance, there's major issues that we're facing in this fellowship that must be dealt with in the Spirit. But God's going to come and move in our midst. We cannot sit around and lie to the Holy Ghost as Ananias and Sapphira did, pretending to be a part. When God brings us into that one accord, into that one heart and one mind, oh, don't mistake what I'm saying. I believe that back then when we were seeing many of these things, I believe we were a much more carnal congregation than we are today. But not as willfully carnal as some. We can't grieve the Holy Spirit. We've got to come in faith. If we're going to come together, we've got to come believing. Jesus would ask them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" I believe the Holy Spirit would ask us that tonight. Do you believe that I can do this in your midst? How many of you believe that God can do every miracle I've been talking about here tonight? Then we need to start praising Him for it. We need to start expecting it, praise God. You see, it's these types of ministry, it draws people. Back in the day of Lake, I was telling you part of that story, and people begin to get healed, and so the crowds begin to come, and as it always does, and then of course there were jealous preachers because of that, and they tried to undermine and people in society, and then they would, you know, accuse him and tried to arrest him for practicing medicine without a license, and the Better Business Bureau was sicked on him, because, you know, it was fraud, and he was telling people things, you know, that were fraudulent. And so he just sat down and he said, why don't we do this? He said, why don't you get a committee together? Now remember who this man was. He's the guy that in South Africa, when there was the plague had broken out and of tuberculosis and different things, they were trying to pay people back in those days, early 1900s, $1,000 to go in and try to deal with the dead and get people buried and he and his associates, they went in for nothing and were tending to all these people. And finally he was asked, said, what are you doing? What is the secret? How come you're not dead? Everybody else is dying. He said, disease and death has no effect on the power of God and the anointing of God. And so he said, let me show you what I'm talking about. He said, get some of that bloody flux right there. Just take that fresh person that just died. He said, smear it in my hand. Now look at it under the microscope. Look at it first before you put it in my hand. All the virus, all of the disease. Put it in his hand. Dead. Amen? Hallelujah. According to your faith, be it unto you. God's no respecter of persons. Well, you see, this is the guy they were talking to up in Spokane, so the Better Business Bureau didn't frighten him that much. So he said, let's do this. He said, why don't you get some doctors and lawyers and professors and get a committee. And he said, we'll have 100 people that have been healed in the meetings come, and they can be examined physically. You can ask them any questions you want. The doctors can examine them, and you determine whether this is God or not. So they said, okay. So they're putting their committee together, and all the while they're doing this, they're out following up on a lot of these people. Well, a few days later, they came back, the head of the committee, and said, we're not going to need to have that meeting. And he was like, well, it would be good. It would be something that, you know, can show the glory. They said, well, we're not going to have to. They said, we've examined everybody, and the half has not been told. And so he said, well, good. He said, and the person tells him, the clincher was that last lady we just spoke to. Who is that? The lady that had no female organs, but had a baby. Hallelujah. Amen. What do you think about that testimony? How many Christians hear that and go, oh man, you know, I don't know about that one, you know. Really? Is anything too hard for the Lord? The one who spoke the worlds into existence from nothing, and people have trouble that she had a baby. I don't know how God did it. God may have just instantaneously restored all of her organs, and she had the baby, and I don't know whether she was examined afterwards or not, but it was verifiable that she had had a total hysterectomy before. That's our God. Amen? And people see these things and they go, we can't deny. Now all they can do is refuse to bow their knee, but they cannot deny that God is in their midst. Oh, they can lie against it. They can, you know, try to oppose. But all I know is once I was blind and now I see. Are we effectively helping one another's faith? You know, when we get together in our fellowship, are we encouraging one another in these areas? Are you reading the scriptures, and when we come together to fellowship, we're talking about the miracles that we've seen, the faith that's been rising in your heart, what God has been doing to you to cleanse your mind and your heart, to empower you, to increase your faith? Are we sharing these biblical testimonies or other testimonies like we've heard tonight with Gary's relative or different aspects? It's my understanding that Mary O'Neill, the Lord had touched her. Someone had told me she had been healed of Crohn's just recently. You know, that's can't be healed. I know that. That's what Janet fought. For all those years. God's doing good stuff. We've heard, we've seen a number of these miracles that we've got and sharing them online. We can't faint. We can't lose sight of what God wants to do here in our midst. And are we willing to believe Him? Are we willing to get out of the boat? Are we willing to spend the time in prayer? Are we willing to pray that prayer of faith? Are you going to be the one that grabs a hold of God and prays and sees healing taking place in these different lives? Whether it be an EG or a Katie, and I don't want to leave anybody out because every prayer, every need is just as important as the other. Is this common? As we begin to wind down a little bit, we turn back to Acts, and following that great miracle, and we've read this passage so many times, we've referred to it almost every teaching in the last 5 or 6 sessions. As they were trying to be hindered from speaking, they said, we cannot, verse 20 of chapter 4, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We should be seeing and hearing stuff, amen? And then when he goes on in this passage, as they were refilled and the place was shaken, we've got to come in here believing. We've got to come together and believe that God is going to come into this place and refill each and every one of us. If this physical building is not shaken, the temple ought to be shaken. Amen? Can you say that your life's been shaken by what the voice of the Holy Spirit's been declaring to us? God's gotten my attention. He's shaken me. Is that our testimony? I'm getting the point. God's wanting to say and do something. I'm seeing the hour. I'm looking around. We're not blind to what's taking place in our midst. How many people do we run into that are seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? That are absolutely obsessed with God being glorified. You know, in an hour when the Lord's being mocked at every turn, wouldn't it be great to see someone in the restaurant just throw their hands up and begin to give glory to God like that lame man and leap and jump and praise God? Where's that boldness? And they spoke the word of God with boldness and with great power, verse 33, gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Listen, and great grace was upon them. Unmerited favor. Everything that we're wanting to try to get through prayer possibly and fasting and study and maybe if I put another 15 minutes of intercession, I want you to know that the unmerited favor of God, His blessings, His presence will just absolutely engulf you when you become a powerful witness. When you become a lover of lost souls. When you stand at work and you begin to all of a sudden, it just takes you by surprise. And these men that are walking by the office or whatever it is, and all of a sudden you begin to weep uncontrollably for their souls. You know, the popularity of the zombie thing today, but you know, basically that's what all these people are. They're the walking dead, man. And His name and faith in His name will set them free. It'll make them whole, praise God. It's time to go to work and grab some of these people and say, look on me, I've got something for you. Go to these people. As I've shared, one of the things I do is walk into the stores and just ask people, say, hey, I want you to know I'm here representing the kingdom of God, the authority of God in the name of Jesus. And He's got me out here praying and interceding for lost souls and for the needs of people. Is there anything you need? Do you need the living God to come and visit you and manifest Himself in your life right now? You'd be surprised how many people want you to pray for them. I've not had anybody turn me down. Free prayer? Yeah, I'll pray for you. Yeah, man, I've got this or I've got that. I've had a couple of people not resist, but just say, you know, I can't really think of anything right now. I said, see you tomorrow. Jesus, Matthew 9, having done all of those great miracles throughout that chapter, and then this chapter ends, as you all know very well, that he was passing by and saw the multitudes, and He was moved with compassion. And then it's interesting that as that continues on, if you want to, you can just peek over there real fast, but as he's ministering and having delivered the blind men, the woman who had touched the hem of his garment, the raising of Jairus' daughter, all of this that's happening in chapter 9. And then it says, and following these things, verse 35, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Now look at this. He healed all of their diseases. He ministered to every natural need. But then it goes on and says, but when he saw the multitudes, souls, people go into a devil's hell. He was moved with compassion. The harvest truly is plenteous. Oh, Father, help us. I ask you, Father, to open my eyes and let me look upon these lost with your heart. I ask you, Father, to deliver me from selfishness and self-indulgences and ease and comfort and worldliness and cares. And let me care for somebody else, the broken, the halt, the maimed. Compel them to come. Compel them to come. There's still room. Compel them to come. Give us a boldness in the Holy Ghost that we would declare this message with power and authority. Stretch forth your hand and heal. In the name of the Holy Child, Jesus. Grant that signs and wonders would be done. And nobody could deny it. Tomorrow, Lord. I start tomorrow, Lord. I give you my heart tonight, maybe on the way home. Change me. I don't want to be like this. I don't want to remain like this. Take this heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh. Lord, somebody prayed for me. Mr. and Mrs. Cole prayed for me. She was taken in her heart for this little boy, and she prayed for me. Oh, help us, Lord. Help us, Jesus. Dear God, we're caught up with too much stuff and the eternal things, the things that count. The night is coming. It could end any day. Thank you for giving to the Lord. Thank you for giving your time. Thank you for giving your life. Thank you for giving your your knowledge. Thank you for giving of yourself. I'm a soul that was saved. It's not just what would a man give in exchange for his soul. What would we give in exchange for a soul? Lord, it's worth all the effort if one person, if in that last day, if one person could walk up to me and say, I just want you to know I'm a soul that was saved. Because you shared. You took it up on the housetops. You put the light on a mountain. You want to get refreshed in the Holy Ghost, pour your life out for another soul. Help us, Father, we ask. Use us, we ask. Let the scales fall from our eyes, Father. We seek you with all of our hearts. Fill us with the power of the Holy Ghost to be witnesses. Ikamarasande babasharia katen siviti vishilamarabanda setayatu. Utamarakandi biti afashendele betaya suburakate diven. No ne marahoma shete vetia vishakai la bota na dati visata. Orobo shandele mama sori ala baba shandere ya mama sata. Send me, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just stand before the Lord, and I'm going to ask Ron to come. Tara can come with him. And if the brethren will come, we're going to lay hands on Ron and just speak God's peace. As we're praying for him, pray also for yourself. Just ask him to come upon you. Ask the Holy Spirit to come upon you tonight and fill you and refill you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Masora baba neleka shembata satata siti. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we come in the name of the Most High. I ask you, Father, to fulfill the call, Father, the vision that was placed in the heart. Father, I ask you for the anointing to rise up in him. Put your word in his mouth, Father, as he speaks as the oracles of God, a word that would break the rock in pieces, a word that would consume those that stand before it, Father, that you might be all in all. Father, we look to see your body edified. We look to see these men of God refreshed, Father. We look to see the name of Jesus exalted. Oh, Lord, be glorified. Go before. Open doors of utterance, Lord. Open doors that you could be exalted. Hallelujah, Lord. It's surely not about a man. It's not about a ministry. It's about your glory, Lord. It's about your glory. It's that you could be exalted. Father, we ask for souls. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
Oh, Masha, la 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 la, Basha, la la ka, Bashata.
Glory to your name, Lord.
We exalt you, Lord. We exalt you, Lord. We exalt you, Lord. Hallelujah. As I was praying about going to India, I just, these last 2 days, God so stirred my heart for souls here. The Lord spoke to me very clearly in these last 48 hours. And as all of this was in turmoil, all of the different things that were being presented. And the Lord made it very clear. I want you home. I want the vision clarified. I'm going to visit you. And we need to prepare ourselves. God's going to visit us. God's going to do a work in our lives. Some of you that I spoke to and spoke about earlier, I want you to know something. Your deliverance is at hand. If you'll finally humble yourself, God will set you free. God will deliver you from yourself. There's not a lot of time left for you. I'm telling you right now, some of you are living in the grace of God at this moment. And that spirit of Ananias and Sapphira, I want you to understand something. That is going to manifest itself. And if I were you, I would fall on my face. I would thank God for His mercy and His grace. That there's a people that love you and hold you up. A people that have supported you. Have gone before you. And you're despising and rejection of that lordship of Jesus in your life. It won't be tolerated. It will not be mocked any longer. You listen. You know who you are. Let's pray right now and believe with these and take authority over those demonic powers, over that spirit of pride and self-will. And let's believe for our brothers and sisters to be set free in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we come and we stand in the gap. Satan, you cannot have these lives. You cannot have these lives. The blood of Jesus has purchased. Break that power. We come against you, devil, in the name of Jesus. Your power is broken. Your power is broken. I'm telling you tonight, if you stay under that power, it's by your choice. The power of Satan's been broken over you. You're free in the name of Jesus. Now walk out of it. Walk out of it. Cast your heart over into the love of God and into the mercy of Jesus. And die to yourself. Become the man. And know the refreshing Hallelujah. Repent, Jesus. Peter said in this message, repent and the refreshing will come from on high. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Hear the word of the Lord. You'll just flat fall over dead like Ananias. You hear what the Spirit's saying to the church. And for the rest of us, we've heard what grieves the Holy Spirit. We've heard the need for that love to manifest among us. For all of this self-indulgence of mind and will and all of these things that have caused and given place to Satan. Pull it down. And know the refreshing of the Lord. And know that anointing that can help you set others free. Praise God. The waters are troubled. I'd encourage you to step in. Hallelujah. Maso baraka da 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 sata. Hende bashara baba shekende retiti diti siti. Love instead of criticize. Bless instead of curse. Edify instead of defame. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Repent tonight. Repent. Hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Determined to get alone and quiet so you can hear what God has to say to you personally. Hallelujah. And then come forth, like we heard Sunday night, come forth then without condemnation, without fear, without guilt, that aspect of the justification through the blood of Jesus Christ. When you repent, when you let God deal with that, you are no longer that man. You are free. It is not to your account. You are a vessel now to be used of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
And you don't have to earn it. You don't have to wait. The minute you step out of the closet, praise God, you're available to the Holy Ghost. Use us, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Mashababababakada. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Oh, holy, holy, holy. Lord, be exalted in your church. Lord, be glorified in your church. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah,
Jesus. Namashela Babaraka Narada Bashata. Hallelujah, 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 Maso Bobo Shanda Kata. Thank you, Father. Set your people free. Set your people free, Lord. I ask you for these lives, Father. Jesus, I ask you for these souls, Lord. I ask you for these lives that you would spare them in the name of Jesus, Father. By your grace, grant that repentance. It's a choice. It's a choice. You can be free in an instant by choice. Repent. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you go, turn to somebody and say, I hear the rustling in the mulberry trees. Praise God. Amen.